Hello, everybody, and welcome to Drollers. I'm joined, as always, by Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, I hope that came through. I'm doing real good.
You are?
I'm doing real good. Cricket's on. Obviously, watching the first half an hour until we started doing this recording. Once we finish recording, I'll be straight back inside. Hopefully, watching the Aussies mount a bit of an innings together. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. I was also just glued to the cricket, big time cricket guy. Couldn't miss the start of this big Aussie tour with the World Cup on. Yeah,
yeah, real close. Close enough. It's the grand final. It's the grand final of cricket. Australia versus South Africa, played in England.
Nice, of course. And which format?
Test match, 5-day.
Okay. Oh, so you know you're really missing out too much then. cool. There you go. Wasn't even aware that was on. So go Australia. Let's take it down. I feel like we've been winning a fair bit of stuff. Like, did we not win the T20 and the one days? Will this be like a full sweep?
It might be. It'd be back to back World Test champions, which would be pretty sweet. And so that's what we're looking to do.
Nice. That's good. Yeah, well, let's get going. But no, I was doing nothing. Just I got an Instagram thing from Petrarca. Christian Petrarca. Have you seen him? He's been popping up on your Instagram.
Apparently cooking?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All this stuff's popping up and I keep like they all look good and quick and easy. And I'm like, all right, I need to start sort of having a squiz at some of these recipes. But one that particularly caught my eye was he was making a katsu curry and he's like, yeah, you just get your box of the curry stuff and then mix it in. I was like, whoa, hold up. And then I go to Coles and apparently there's just like katsu, or they just call it Japanese curry. But it's basically like a stock cube, like a really big one.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just add water and you just make it. I was like, oh, this is disappointing that I was unaware of this. So I sorted that out for my dinner tonight. It was all right. Definitely, I've had worse right. katsus for sure. But nice. I just was
we need
like,
to stay on. We need.
Yeah.
We need to stay on this rabbit hole because I love that you've brought up Instagram and what's popping up, because I hope everyone else has been experiencing what I've been experiencing. It's absolutely taken over my Instagram, and I fucking love it. Yetis.
No. Yetis.
No.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, yeah. Like the AI things of AI like, Yetis. I do like that. And the man versus the gorilla.
And they're just like popping drugs. Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. I've got to fucking fight 100 men tomorrow. I don't know what that's going to be like. Like, fuck.
Follow me for more.
So good. Yeah, follow along to see how I go. And it's like, he's running away. He's like, this is way fucking harder than I thought.
No, 100%. It's so good. This is what AI was built for.
Yeah. So good. So, listeners, if you've not stumbled across any sort of Yeti dedicated Instagram pages, do yourselves a favor. Oh, it makes me laugh every time.
Yeah. No, it's good. I'm big on it. That's good. All right. I've got written here false alarm. False alarm. What do you reckon that might pertain to? I reckon you'll have absolutely no guess, but false alarm is the first thing on my run sheet, and I think it's important.
Yeah.
A handful of episodes ago.
False alarm was that. Yeah, no idea.
A handful of episodes ago, my not light was that the bakery near Bald Hill was closed down, boarded up, and done for. And I was really sad because they made very nice bacon and egg rolls with the hoisin sauce. And it made me very, very sad. Darren messaged me like the next day and he's like, I don't think so, bud. Like, I reckon they might have got broken into or had window smashed or something. And I was like, okay, well, it was definitely shut when I was there, so because I didn't get my bacon egg roll. But I feel like maybe they're shut on Sundays. It might have been a Sunday. I don't know. I can't remember now. But anyway, I went to Bald Hill on the weekend and bang, she's open. Happy days. So it was
beautiful.
False alarm. Take it all back.
Perfect. That's great news. Great news for the listeners.
Exactly. Speaking of listeners, we'll do a bit of ASMR, I think. Let me just take this out of the bag, and I'll get you to guess what you think this might be. Oh, no, I'm not doing this very well. Yeah. Oh, crinkles. That's real ASMR. All right, what do you think this sound is?
Oh, all right. That sounds like I'm playing disc golf with Ryan Deere. That sounds like, is that a chalk bag?
It is, mate, but it's not just any chalk bag. This is a custom Throwlers chalk bag with our little logo on it. They're very nice. So we had reached out by Stephen Fox from Mount Gambier, and he has a company called Flying Fox Disc Golf. And he said, do you use chalk bags? And if I sent you some chalk bags with a Throwlers logo on it, would you give it a review? And I was like, 100%, sign us up. So he sent them out. We got a couple cool different shapes. One of them kind of like a... Oh, I've just cottoned on it. I'm such a dipshit.
A fox.
It's a fox.
It's kind of like a fox.
I'm such a dipshit. So a couple foxes and then a couple of round ones with some cool patterns and our logo on it. And they're real nice and chalky and good feel. So I already had some. I got one from a players pack at the, what's the tournament we played at in Warrnambool? Hopkins Heiser.
Yep.
So they were really nice. Yeah. I didn't realize that was coming from them. But yeah, they're really nice. Flying Fox Disc Golf. He is on Facebook and he's supplying Zelm Disc Golf and the Disc Golf Basket, which are both coming out of South Australia. But yeah, he's keen to get into the custom chalk bag market. So if you're interested in a custom chalk bag or need some player pack stuff, they're really good. I really like it. So Flying Fox, you can get a fox-shaped chalk bag that you'll instantly recognize because you're not a dipshit.
How good? Good, yeah. I'm glad you got there.
Yeah.
All right.
But now they're nice. Awesome.
Can't wait to get my hand on it. And yeah, what a great little addition to the Oz Disc Golf community.
Mm, for sure. So we might have to, we got four of them here, so we might have to give a couple of them out at the Throwlers Non-Invitational that we might have a little chat about later on.
Exactly.
Spicy,
good call.
Spicy. But now they're cool. I've gotten into the chalk bags lately. I never used them forever. And then, yeah, we got them in place packs and things like that and started dicking around with them. And I don't mind a little bit of a chalky bag.
No, me too. Ever since I brought my cart into the game, there's a little pocket right at the top of my near my handle, like perfect for the chalky bag. And I've always got one in there now.
Yeah, it's good. Now you got another one.
Sweet.
Have you seen that the Queensland Open is full?
Wowee, yeah. That's sneaking up us, isn't it?
It is. It's in July 4 to 6, which is just under a month away. And 164 players was their cap, and 164 players they have reached. 23 in the open field, and they are from all over the country. Mm-hmm. Unlike Victoria, where it was just all from Victoria. Only a few Queenslanders, and then the rest just sort of everywhere, from everywhere. So really cool to see. Big fields everywhere else as well. 21 in the MA1, which is nice. 23 in the MA50. God damn, MA50 is fast becoming the biggest division in Australian disc golf. It's wild.
Yep.
So a big field. And a few things that I noted from this. There were teaser videos. Did you see the teaser videos pop up? So
I don't think so, no.
With Disconnection, I think, themselves put out the videos for it. They're the naming sponsor of the Queensland Open. So they had some teaser videos for that. I think there was people showing the course that was filmed 2 years ago because it's back at that course, and it was filmed by Parked. And they already have out available, not just in a player's email, but just online, they have the course map, the whole notes, the whole breakdowns and all that sort of stuff. So they've got a nice course that has a good reputation from its last thing 2 years ago. It has video out there that you can just watch. They put out hype videos and they have all the information you would need already out, ready to go. That is what I will call a very successful major, and it's unsurprising to me that it's sold out.
So good. This has to be Vito's buddy Biggs. Like, I know he's TD'd before, but surely he's not TD'd a major of this size.
I don't know how big the Queensland Open was 2 years ago, but I believe he TD'd that one. I'll have a quick look at Bainey's profile to find. Oh, yeah, it's hard to tell because he was in Europe that whole year. I'm not sure, but he did that. But I don't know if it ever sold out quite like this. This is a big field. 164 players is no joke. So, I'm sure Vito and Nate Thomas are both going to do fantastic job. I reckon it's going to go really smooth, and I'm disappointed not to be there. I kept looking, and never end up pulling the trigger, and it's sold out. And it's actually turned out to be a bit of a blessing in disguise because I'm going to end up in New South Wales for 3 weeks in July and helping out the old man with some work. So I would have had to pull out anyway. But I've been able to sign up to the Central West Cold Snap, so that's a little silver lining. Instead of nice, beautiful, sunny Queensland, I get to go to Central West New South Wales. Maybe a grey lining instead of a silver lining. But big ups for the guys for the Queensland Open. I'm sure it'll be great. And I think this is a real nice standard leading into event. And I'm sure that they'll uphold that standard throughout the event. So this is something we want to see more of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to switch straight from that to something else that might not quite have that same standard. But Wayne Govan is putting on a tournament of his own. So he's found a golf course out in Cobden, and he's got basically it all sorted now. I think he's got a date prepared. I won't put it out. We'll let him put all the stuff out when he's ready. But I think it was in mid September ish, and he's got the course looking like half sorted. I think the golf course is booked, and he's trying to sort out the baskets and the paperwork and stuff. So that's gonna be really cool. I think Cobden's a little closer than. It's at least half an hour closer than Warrnambool was, and I flew in and flew out of that. So you can see me getting down there for sure.
Yeah. Only 2 hours from my house, be about an hour from Geelong. So obviously we know we've got a massive Geelong listener base. Mostly it's just Terry Bowen, who can't be fucked listening to his son. But Terry, get out there. Go enjoy Cobden.
No, I'm sure he will. It'll be really cool. So we'll keep an eye out that and release more information when we have it all there. But, yeah, good to see. Wayne's trying something new. And, yeah, we'll get around it for sure.
I've jumped on, obviously it's hard to ascertain exactly what Cobden Golf Club is like. But it's worth a little Google and a little peruse. It looks like a beautiful, beautiful slice of this world. And looks like there's enough foliage kicking around. And, yeah, I'm imagining, a scope for a really cool course. And there's also, looks like club rooms. I'm seeing some indication of maybe some carts. There's foliage. There's something for everyone. Hobby trains, if you're into hobby trains.
Sick. Can't get enough hobby trains.
Yeah, good.
It's my jam. It's good. The Throwlers Non-Invitational is gaining some traction. So
yes, it is.
Non-Invitational number two. We took a tee off year last year and just didn't do it. But we're going to be back this year, and it looks like it might be back to where it was last time at not the same course, but on Oz Disc Day. So potentially, we might end up being one of Melbourne's Oz Disc Day events on September 21st. So things are looking good from my previous emails to the club. And I think after Melbourne celebrates, we might get a bit more of that locked in. But Oz Disc Day is going to be September 21, 22. And I think we might be there on that Saturday at Bald Hill with a pretty disgusting course.
And we might just either clean sweep the Australian disc golf divisions, or we might just come dead last in all of those divisions. Either way, it's going to be an absolute success.
I agree. We'll have scope for 40. I don't necessarily know. I'm I'm unders on it. I think you are much higher on attendance, possible attendance, than I am. I'd be surprised if we hit the 40, but I can almost guarantee that we will have multiple division winners for Oz this day.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be like someone could play well and get smoked. And then that person who smokes everyone could just be a billion rated.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's going to be cool. We'll see. Hopefully we can get some of the big dogs to really embarrass us down there. But yeah, watch this space. Probably won't hear too much of it until after Melbourne celebrates. But yeah, it's looking like it's actually going to happen. So that's cool.
Bring it on. We're definitely getting 40. We're definitely hitting 40.
Sick.
Yeah.
New Zealand Nationals is looking for a home.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Alex spied that they have not received any expressions of interest for Nationals next year, must be. Yeah, because they do it at the start of the year. And yep. They put it out there. They're like, we need to know by X time. And they really let them know, people know. It's like the 49th annual New Zealand Nationals. If someone doesn't put a bid in for that, then it will be cancelled. And I think that the 49th annual New Zealand Nationals at Ruffy Rumble sounds pretty good.
Spicy. It sounds real spicy.
We could maybe put in a little sneaky bid. What do you reckon? If we had New Zealand Nationals just at Ruffy Lake Park?
I'd rate it. Imagine, you know, obviously all the people that would fly in for it.
Mm-hmm.
Away we go. We could charge Exorc. Like we could make a buck on this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think there's a few things here we could do.
I still don't know if I'll string any out of bounds, but
I wouldn't worry about it. I don't even think if we'd open up the park. We just play the 18 as it is.
Yeah.
Have at it, cats.
Exactly.
$300. $300. Have at it.
Call it an ATR.
Yeah.
Yeah, wild. Well, that's crazy. And then I think they've got another big tournament, the like North Island Championships, that don't have a home yet. So they've got the Australasian Open, though. So that got a bit of love. We came up with the what is it? I made a flyer for your
Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Sydney Harbour Bridge Open. And yep. You tagged the Tour Down Under on it, and they must have had a listen to the, because I can't imagine they're just normal every week listeners of the pod. So I feel like they must have had a listen based on the link that you attached, and they were on board. They liked it.
They loved it. Yeah, the feedback was just pretty good in general, to be honest. But this was a great listen. Loved it. Hope to see you guys there. Was the comment they sent us.
There you go. Tour Down Under approved. So yeah. Maybe we'll see that on their calendar sometime soon. But that was a good rant by you. I did like that. And exactly. I'm glad you got some good feedback on that too. That was fun.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little disc golf. Hey, we had a social day at Bald Hill on the weekend, and it was wet. It was blustery. Oh, it wasn't too blustery. It was just wet, but mostly in the morning. So we got a chart sent in by Alex, of course. He sent most of our stuff that showed the morning versus the afternoon scores. Mind you, most of Div A were in the afternoon round, but not all of it. And there is a large disparity. He's got one's highlighted in yellow and one's highlighted in purple, and all the purple were the morning, and all of their scores are towards the bottom section. So it was very wet in the morning and rained basically the whole time, and stopped raining about 15 minutes before I teed off at 10:30. So not surprised that the morning rounds kind of sucked, but people still had a crack out there. In Div C, Ross Davies actually sent me a message to let me know hey, mate, I've actually played well above my rating here. I've smashed it, and I'll soon be out of Div C if I didn't have all these shit trash rounds left in there. So good to see, because this might be back-to-back Div C wins, I think, and a comfortable win, and I think from the 8 a.m. slot. So a plus two for Papa Davies there in Div C was doing miles of work in that division, because second place was plus six, Jason Vincent, and then third, Kim Michelle, plus seven. And it starts getting real ugly after that.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Not a lot of green down in that section. Not too much better for the no metrics rating division, Div X. David Morkunis and Rosalind Crisp, both with some big numbers. And in the non-member, not as bad. I actually played with one of these guys, Ilya Kravchenko, I'm going with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Russian. He's Russian, yeah?
He's Ukrainian, so careful with that.
Oh, close. Careful. Sorry.
Not close. I mean, close, but not close. He's Ukrainian. He's a really nice fella. So it was really cool to play with him. He's got some family down here, so he's chilling with them and I think working on potentially staying. So we might see a lot more of it. It was wild. Like we started on hole 14, so the long version of hole 5. And I've never met this guy before, don't really know much about him. And he rips out the fattest flex forehand I think I've ever seen. Like, just from the tee bag, oh, my turn, high, like real high, full hectic flex, and then well, like massive shot up onto the flat.
Sick.
And then some. And I was like, damn. That's crazy. And then he threw a backhand next, and I was like, oh, never mind. but it was just out of nowhere. He's just like, yeah, I just threw like a 120-meter forehand. I was like, cool, bro. But anyway, he was a really nice guy, and I think we'll be seeing more of him. He just had a rough day on the putting green, I think. But plus 10 for him wasn't too bad, seeing as he had a lot of really close miss putts. So could have been a much better day. But keep an eye on his name. What was Div B doing?
Div B, lots of birdies and quite a few eagles to be had in Div B as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a hot minute since I've played Bald Hill, and seeing these eagles pop up, I can't wait for non-invitational. But you had a tie at the top, and you had a three-way tie. For second. So a three-way tie for second was Damian Musi, Tim Stevenson, and Wayne Hood. So Damian Musi brings his A game a week late for me. But they were all outdone by Max Tatz and Aaron Picanti, who come in at even. Ring-a-ding ding.
Big. And Picanti's was a charge. I don't know if you were following. I know you were following on at home, because we've got some throwless guarantee on the line here. I think I had Zach Schloffel to beat Picanti, and Zach put in a plus three in the morning round, and I was on the fence. I was leaning towards I'm in trouble here, but on the fence. And then Picanti, I think, started on maybe hole 11, and it was bogey, double bogey, bogey, and I'm like, oh, we're home. I'm home. It's so good. Now the bogey late, and then he just got onto that front nine and went whack, whack, eagle on three, whack again. So he went 2, 4, 5 down through five holes. And
to bring it back down to plus one.
Yeah, exactly. So all of a sudden it was looking like maybe the trollers guarantee might come in, and I might end up getting a little bit of a sneaky draw here. But yeah, he sort of a couple bogeys in the mix there, but end up charging home really well. So what's that? 2, 3, 4, 5 five birdies and an eagle on that front nine to charge his way up to even. Did a lot of work to end up with an even score, but that's what Div B is all about. Max Tatz a bit of the same, just rough back and Real solid front and an eagle on hole five for him too. So wild. Tim Stevens and Damien Moosey, the other eagles as well. So four eagles in Div B, not seeing that too often, I'm sure. Did you have your... No, yours wasn't... Your throw was guaranteed. So 0 points for me because Picanti decided he was good. Disappointing.
Surely.
What was that?
You're not.
What was that? Sorry, I missed it.
Fine, sitting in Div A.
Yes, yours was sitting in Div A. So how did Div A shake out?
So, first of all, Mikey Hare, who you poo-pooed when I said, well, Mikey is also a much better disc golfer than Kalen, and he's just gone and smashed Kalen by 8 strokes. I stand by that statement pretty comfortably. So what on Mikey, closely followed by Brett Siebel, who also hit the double digits. And then Vil, who's obviously back on the scene from some sort of hiatus, with a neg 7, just warming up for Melbourne Celebrates.
Mm.
And then, yeah, a couple of big names not getting going there. So, obviously, I mentioned Kalen. But you've got Penn Liu, who didn't get going. And you've also got Alan Brunston, who did not get going. What happened there?
I started hole 15. I threw it straight into the ground. And then who was I was on Mikey. I was in a car with Mikey. Mikey, and he looked at me and I said, oh, no, you're going to see a lot of that today because I'm trying to fix my form. I was trying to sort out my shit, and it just wasn't very good. But honestly, if I had have played normal, I might have shot a neg 3. You know what I mean? My body was not in a good way that Saturday morning. So since went to the Mayo at that Saturday night and geez, I'm a whole different person now. So it's so good. But yeah, I was destined to be horrible. And at least for this, I'll have a half a reason for it. So, that was never going to be good. Everyone besides Vil was trash. Like there was no reason that anyone should have shot that badly. I don't think the weather was not that bad, except for Succulent Chinese Meal and Dan Frawley both played in the morning, I think. So everyone else has no excuse and just wasn't that good. But Brett was great. Brett was just killing it. So Brett started on hole 12 and went 12, 13, 14, birdie. Missed 15 and then picked 16 up. I was like, Jesus Christ, he's 4 through 5 starting at hole 12. I'm like, God damn, Brett. Inexplicably bogeys 18. I think it was like a real duffed putt. And then just goes, never mind, whack, 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 whack. Eagles 5, gets 6. And Mikey's killing it at this stage. I'm on Mikey's card as well. He's killing it. We started on 14. So he's going birdie, birdie, start, then a few pars, and then starting to do a lot of damage in that back nine. And he's starting to have a real good look now at, you know, the last sort of 5 holes and how it might shake out. And we've still got 12, 13 to play, and Brett's birdied them. So he's like, I think I'm at the disadvantage here, even though I think he was 1 stroke clear when we looked at it. And then Brett just decided to par basically out 7, 8, 9, and 10, took all pars. So I don't know what happened to his mojo, but it all went away. And then on hole 18, just throws on hole 11, throws like a nice boom source one to get himself a beautiful birdie. And I think Mikey missed the birdie putt, which would have put him to 11. And so Brett got pretty excited then and started following us around on hole 12. But Mikey threw an almost ace on hole 12 and got himself a birdie there, which was all he needed to take out the big win. So nice work, Mikey. But that was a cool battle. And yeah, Brett was up and about and no one else really went with him. So yeah, bit of a shame.
Awesome. Yeah. I see Dan Frawley in there in 11th. I think Alex must have snipped this image. It doesn't show 12th. I'm assuming 12th was Doug Adams.
We all know that Doug doesn't play in the rain. And I think Doug doesn't play at 10:30. So I think that might have been what happened. Unconfirmed. I probably should have reached out to Doug. But yeah, he pulled out. And I suspect that the rain at 8 a.m. had a strong factor. So 0 points for you, 0 points for me. Not a strong way to start season two for 2025.
Correct.
Should we have a look at some of the handicap results? I think Div A, unsurprisingly, the CTB was Brett Zeeble, an absolute leaner for Div A, but Mikey Hare takes out the handicap.
In the overall handicap, Mikey Hare, you never see this, but I feel like we say you never see this, and we've seen it a lot this season. But Div A winner, also the overall handicap winner. That's got to be rare, surely.
Yeah, it's got to be rare. Mikey's sitting at 9.33. As we discussed, he's better than that. And it's just still climbing.
Than Kalen.
He was confirmed. he was Div B, I reckon, four social days ago.
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't know. He's absolutely smoking. He was throwing so good.
I've had the pleasure of a few Mikey rounds, and that's why I said what I said.
Yeah.
The kid can play. Like, you don't go to the school of David Perry and turn out a shit disc golfer.
Yeah.
Like, Mikey Hare knows how to play.
I think it was his putt that normally lets him down, but he was putting quite well when I played with him. So, just like I said, maybe one or two duff ones that he wish he had back, but he hit some real nice ones. So, yeah, good to see him take the win and the handicap. And then Brett right behind him. So just real strong rounds from both those guys. Simon McKay and Matalis Vulge there in third and fourth. Ross Davies in fifth. And Damien Moosey there in sixth. So hot rounds there. And in the other end, Mia Daniels on the bottom. David Heath, Alistair Morley, and Lenny down on the bottom. So not good enough, but I think the weather had a lot to do with a lot of that. So we might let those ones slide, eh?
Yeah. How's the leaderboard looking? Is it getting tight?
I think so, because Brett was in a decent position, like a few off the leaders, but this was a big get for Brett. So I hope he's moved up a little bit, or at least closed in some of the gap. What do we have?
He's dropped a 69 and pulled in a 98. So he's jumped a cool 20, nearly 30 points there. So, absolutely. He's climbed up into top five. Still a fraction below Tim Ware. You've got Peter Chu still sitting in third, but we've got another flip-flop at the top of the leaderboard. Penn has reclaimed the lead by a fraction, by an absolute whisker. With a week to go.
That's crazy. And so what are we looking at here? What's Kalen got to drop and Penn's got to drop? Penn's got 94.1, so that would be his lowest. And Kalen's got a 91 in his system. So
Kalen's got a couple of 91s.
There you go. So essentially, if Kalen beats Penn, Kalen draws with Penn at the social day, as long as it's above a 91 pointer, then he should take out the win.
Correct.
I think so. Very nice.
I've done the maths. Peter Chu can't catch them. He's got an 88 to drop. So even if Peter Chu was to win, he won't catch them. Tim Ware has a 75 to drop.
That's a big
can't
one.
Catch them. Yeah, can't catch them though. So it's down to those two. It's down to Penn and Kalen.
There you go. Still a lot of jockeying for position though. So Peter Chu, Tim Ware, Brett Zeeble, all not too far off of each other. And all with their rounds, ready to drop. So right now, Peter Chu's sitting in third, half comfortably. But there are some trash scores that Brett can drop. And some trash scores, especially that Timmy Ware can drop. So I know Brett was keen. I was telling him how close he was on that leaderboard. So I think he's already signed up for Ruffy. I'm not sure about the others yet. But some jockeying could be had. I'm in sixth. Look at me, guy. I think I must have jumped ahead of someone there. I just actually got my eighth round in. So that must be what happened. And I'm a half a chance to sneak out to Ruffy. I think I've got a work function on during the day, but it might not be as boozy as I anticipated. So I might get out there for Ruffy and I might just play normal instead of trying to fix myself.
I had a cheeky look at it. No 8 o'clock slots left. So Alex, I know you're a big listener. If an 8 o'clock slot opens up, let me know. And I probably won't be able to make it. Let me know nonetheless. As it stands, Penn is signed up. Kaelin is not. There's only 14 slots left. Like, there's already 58 signed up. So
I might have to do a speculative pick. I'm looking at mine. I think I need to win so that I can drop a 75 and then I can catch Brett but not Tim Ware. So this might not be any point for me, but maybe I won't bother. But we'll see how we go. But yeah, coming down to the wire with a few close spots. And the clubs normally does all right and pays out to a few positions there. So like top 10.
They pay down to 30th, I think.
Well, right now Narada is in 10th place. And Max Tats, I think, must be in striking distance. I think a few other people might be as well. Marcus Davies there in 9th and has some ones he can drop for sure to make some moves there. So, definitely worth people's while coming out. If you don't know where to find the Social Day leaderboards, if you're curious about what you need to do to lift up, then all you need to do is find where you sign up for your social days, and then when you can click on the little drop down tab and it'll show each one of the social days, but at the very top it just says season one, so click on season one and go from there.
Correct.
All right, Tinty, should we have a little bit of a squiz at that?
Yeah, what? hectic.
Wind. You saw the videos, right?
I have seen a couple of hectic clips, yes.
Yeah, so the rain apparently wasn't that bad. We're going to have a chat with Nath Parrish later on, so might wait for that. But the wind was an absolute menace and blowing tents away and the like. So harsh conditions, but still 5 NPO plays started and 3 finished. Matty Noblett takes the win, Caelan Borg in 2nd, and Nath Parrish in 3rd with Luke Fisk and Damian Malko DNFing. A bunch of names we don't sort of care too much about, but we did have Matt Finnegan in action. So I think he was in the MA50 and not his best round one, put him behind the 8 ball. They all did pretty bad, to be fair, because round one was a real bad day, but tough round rating for himself and couldn't quite do enough in round two to catch back up to Steve Braunstall, who took out the win over James Arnold and Diamond Dan Hartley.
And I feel like this Steve chap definitely was putting in some work in regards to dragging everyone else's rating down.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
The ratings will all be interesting to see how it all gets smoothed out, if it does.
I think it's happened. Am I wrong? Was this before the update? Yeah. I reckon this has happened and it's been smoothed.
Oh, it does say official results. Yep, you are correct.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, well, that's nice. They kept it real rough for the for the first day. I actually did have a quick look at Olinda today because I was waiting for that one to get official results. And they for sure did exactly what I expected. They matched round one to round two. So they just disregarded that everyone was shit in round one and just were like, I guess you were just all shit. And went with the round two ratings, which was fair, to be honest, because I don't think it was really the weather. We were just all kind of shit. But it was a little sad.
Hurts me, yeah. A little sad. But they haven't done it at Tinty, and we know this as TDs. They haven't done it as Tinty because what the TD could have and would have and should have and most likely did do was you obviously just comment that conditions were remarkably different between round one and round two. hence the conditions. The results just like, it's a little different to Olinda. The results were like, the scores were outrageously different between round one and round two.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. I think Nath is ready. Nath Parrish, who was at Tinty.
Ooh. Nice.
Third place at MPO. So, hey, Nate, thanks for joining us, mate. You've had quite the year so far, an MPO win or two, some very strong, consistent performances. What's clicking this year that maybe hasn't clicked in years past?
Hey, lads. Thanks for having me. I'd say it's probably the consistency. People kind of forget that I'm new-ish to the sport. I've only been playing since COVID, and I think it's just about now that each throw feels more natural and I'm not having to think about the actions, where I'm putting my arms, where I'm putting my legs and all that kind of things. So I think it's more now I'm feeling more comfortable, and that's why I'm seeing a more consistent result.
Awesome. Question two, mate. So obviously I know through chats with you, your expectations are obviously a lot higher now than what they were. Was the 1-point ratings boost you got this month down a few, or did you see it coming?
Yeah, not at all. So I've actually had a change of mind on the ratings and how I perceive them. Ever since coming back from New Zealand, where I got beat by Aaron Gossage by 63 strokes, technically I shot above my ratings there, but I didn't feel like I performed where the ratings said, if that makes sense. So in my mind, I'm now trying to get better without worrying about the ratings hit that I take in Australia. Because me, they just feel like, why bother trying to protect a 930 rated round, really?
Yeah, that's a it's a really good mindset. Kind of feels like a personal attack, but I'll let that slide. you're normally at the lower end of the ratings for the MPO field, but you found yourself the top dog at Tinty on the weekend. How did that feel, and was there any extra pressure?
I saw your ratings push, Al. You still had a bit of fighting left in you. But no, like I said, I moved up to MPO quite early on for this reason. If I stayed to MA1, I kind of would have had that fear of becoming MPO and all that expectations which comes with it. When in reality, it's just, you know, another division. There's nothing special, honestly. Yes, playing for cash. Yes, playing for a little bit more prestige. But in the end, it's just the same game, really.
Nah, true that. Look, me and Alan, we're just having a look through the Tinty results, as I'm sure you heard. We've all seen the videos of the rain and obviously the wind. How were the conditions being there?
So the rain actually hit before we actually played. So driving up, the ABS actually turned on a couple of times, just keeping me on the road, honestly, with how heavy that rain was. But then when we started playing, there was a couple of drizzles, but no real rain. It was just the wind. It was generally 50 to 70 kilometers an hour, every direction. Who knew what was happening? So it wasn't miserable. It was just honestly an experience that you just couldn't do anything. I'm honestly surprised the scores were so good as they were with the wind.
You say you're surprised the scores were so low. How surprised were you with your ace on hole 22, was it? Was that your first tournament ace? And talk us through the shot.
Yeah, we had just been giving Kalen a lot of shit, honestly, that he'd made his second ace in this tournament alone, and I had yet to hit my first tournament ace in my career. So it was actually quite fitting that I hit one this weekend as well. It was hole 21 of the layout, which is essentially the one that Tim Bowen won his playoff last year. So very fitting for the Heiser Flight crew for that one. Completely blind behind a tree over the water. I was just throwing a safe spike Heiser with my Firebird that would just stick, hit metal. Next thing you know, it was in, didn't know what to do. So surprised that I double bogeyed the next hole. And that's about the story of my tournament.
That's sick. Well done. You did a good job sticking out the conditions. Unfortunately got outdone by a couple of Adelaide boys. A couple of questions before we let you go. Once you're done with a round, who's the first name you look for to see if you've actually taken them down?
Yeah, so if you asked me that question a year ago, it definitely would have been you, Alan. But honestly, these days it's Penn Lu. He's pretty much storming along and he kind of frightens me, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair. And very soon he's going to be 100% your problem in MPO, which would be very nice. Thanks for heaps coming on the pod, mate. Appreciate you being up at 9:30 on a Wednesday night. One last thing before we go, though. Am I a bitch for pulling out of Tinti?
Appreciate you having me. Honestly, Alan not coming is probably the best decision he's made in his disc golf career. I'm not going to lie. It was horrendous to sleep in a tent if you were going to sleep in a tent, let alone a swag.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, well, thanks for that, Nace. We really appreciate it. And, yeah, not a bitch. So that's good to know. That's really good information for me.
That's a win.
That's a win. Okay. Cool to see you, Nate. We're going to do it. I'm liking this. We're doing more guests. We're going to get it going. It's funny, too. We keep asking people and they just be like, it's only been Picanti and Nate. And both of them are like, oh, why? Like, why do you want to talk to me? And Nate's like, then you want to talk to the winner? I was like, nah, don't worry about that.
So I don't even know that guy.
Exactly. Cool. Good to hear from Nate. And yeah, first tournament ace is dope. So we love seeing that.
Yes. Yes, we do.
All right. We had a ratings update. So I'm not sure how that fared for the big dogs, but I know for me, I went up a sneaky little 2 points, the same 2 points that I lost last month. So just still chilling around that 925 mark. I can live there for a bit. How'd you go?
Up three. Okay. The smoothing at Olinda cost me maybe a couple extra there. So up to 944. Not quite enough to catch Oscar, I noticed. Oscar holding on to a nice little 945. So he's within reach, but not quite there. And, yeah, I do also notice that Penn Lu also had a nice little day, as we would expect, and he has possibly extended the gap that I thought I was maybe closing.
Nah, he's for sure done that. He's Penn's up 6 to 948. He is right on the cusp of that that 950 you should be playing MPO mark. But hasn't quite crossed that threshold yet, but he's right there. Chris Scott also just consistently edging up. So plus 2, got him over into the 940 club, which I believe would have to be for the first time, which is good to see, well-deserved. And heading the other direction is Timmy not on a tear where. So I think the smoothing at Olinda really hurt him because his first round there was trash. So down a big 7 points, just clinging on to the 920. And now I'm back comfortably, you know, 3/4 of a stroke above Tim, which is where I feel pretty nice there. I like that
spot.
Well
done, well done.
Any notables that you have seen?
Yeah, on the leaderboard, no big shifts around the podium, but I do want to draw attention to Paddy Robinson. Obviously, we know he had a good Olinda. He's had another plus 4, so now he's up to 984.
Big.
Which is a chunky number, and it's looking good. Look, at his lowest back in 2022, Paddy was back at a 953 golfer.
Whoa.
I wasn't aware of that.
Jeez.
Yep. Climbed back into the 960s, hanging around in the 970s for a hot minute, has cracked back into the 80s of late, and now has jumped to 984. Good. Like, obviously, a little ways off. He's 1,004 peak, which he reached back in 2018. But hey, never say never. The man is on a climb.
We called this, like, we started looking this pretty early. I'm just trying to have a look now if I can see. I can't. For some reason, I can't search on our thing. But there was an episode called 1,000 Rated Paddy I believe. Mm-hmm. And that's because he came out of a bit of a hibernation and was looking like the Paddy of old. So we spotted this well over a year ago. So good on us to good on us for Paddy being 980 something rated.
Exactly.
Have I done that
we
right?
We should take all the credit. Yeah, yeah, you've nailed it. Correct.
A couple other names that I've noticed is Mike van der Linden is a nice solid plus five. So he's up into the 895 club. He is very close to pushing into the 900s, which yeah, I think Carey's the only one we normally see in the MA50 that are in the 900s. So it'd be good to see Mike up there messing around with him. And mm-hmm. in the other direction, we had Matt Finnegan, who had a rough time there at Tinty, go down nine. So not ideal there, Matty boy, but hopefully we'll get that climber back up soon.
Correct.
All right, we'll do a bit of a little bit of a Pro Tour catch-up because we had a really big pod last week and we didn't get to talk about it, and there was a bit of interesting stuff that happened to that one, plus even the Arlay Open. We might start there. Mostly in the FBO side because Silver Saarinen got a genuine win over Kristen, and I think that is the first time she's maybe ever done it. Am I correct?
I believe so. And so, yeah, the Disc Golf Pro Tour put out a nice post of lots of tears and hugs between those two over their journey, particularly this season and last. But, yeah, she got it done on the weekend. Well done, Silva.
And it wasn't – this isn't like she smashed it and then, you know, Kristen just couldn't do anything about it. Kristen was ahead. Silva struggled. She gave up seven strokes to Kristen after round one. And just fought back, and even in round three, was two strokes better than that to get her over the line. So a real genuine half-fought win. This has to feel good for Silva, and this could be big for her moving forward.
Yeah, yeah, maybe it's monkey off the back, and we see, yeah, we see a few more tight battles down the rest of the season for sure.
And did you get to watch Julia Forsch at all?
I did round one, of course I did. Caught a little bit of a round two as well, not as great, but round one was awesome.
13-year-old girl from I can't remember where, but Sweden smoked it. 9.92 rated first round, one stroke behind the best player in the world, Kristen, and just looked real comfortable out there. Had one silly little duff putt on 17, which could have, you know, which cost her from being tied with Kristen. And she just kind of, she was chill, blew it off. And then I think birdied 18, like just real, real solid effort. It was really cool to see. So 13 years old, amazing. Just, she's going to be an absolute killer going forward.
Absolutely. She missed five C1 putts. In that minus four, 992 rated round. So,
wow.
Absolute jet in the making.
Mm. So, real, real good. And I didn't see too much of the MPO side, but Nicholas Antola with a really hot final round. Well, I guess Ricky just with not that hot of a final round. Just didn't have enough. And Antola kind of scooped in and took it from him. So, good to see.
Yeah, he just cooled off. Ricky cooled off. He had a double bogey on nine. Then went birdie, but then, yeah, just between, yeah, only went one down in the last seven. And over that same stretch, Nicholas went four. So, and only went four because he had a bogey up his sleeve to use on 18. So, yeah, well done, Nicholas. He's had the season, hadn't he?
Yeah, no, he's having a great. This is technically his third win. They count this as a Disc Golf Pro Tour event. They count
Absolutely.
It. So he's got to count it. That's three wins. He's got more than anyone else. So, sick effort. What were your tips? Mine was Vino Makala in the men's, and he got equal third. So I'm very happy with that because I've already tipped Ricky and Niklas, so I could not have done any better.
Yeah, well done.
You?
I went with the last European winner.
Maori.
Maori Vilman, who started reasonably well and found himself in T5th after round one. But by the end of round three, he found himself T19th. And that is not good enough.
No, it is not. I'm very glad with my pick on that because I missed Maori on the last one when he won. I had a very good look at his name. And I just didn't like that he hadn't played many events for the year. And Jesse Neiman had been playing really good in America. So I was like, well, he's going to be great in Europe. And he wasn't. And that hurt. That real hurt bad. And then it was real tough. I was like, I can't be. If I pick him now, he'll be shit. Like, that's how this works. So I went with Vino. And after round one, I was cursing myself. But by then, around three, I was just patting myself on the back. So that was nice.
Well done. Well done. What about in the FPO? Who'd you have?
I had Rachel Turton.
Oh, bang.
Yeah, which another third place. So very happy with that. I have not picked Silva or Kristen yet, but I have strong plans for both of them. So I'm not third was as good as I was hoping for in that as well. So I couldn't have done much better. It was a good week for me. It's been a few lean ones, but it was a very good week for me. You?
Yeah, I went the Anneli Tugjars Maniste. The pink-haired bird. Look, not a great round two. 9.21 plus five, and then a plus one round three as well hurt me. Again, was looking good after round one, and then just cooled off. That was the story of my tournament.
No good. Good for me, though. It's starting to slide my way back up that leaderboard, but might run out of events, but we'll see. The other one I wanted to talk about was back on US soil and
Northwest.
That's the one, the Northwest Disc Golf Championships by Latitude 64. So a few cool things that happened to that. But I think the number one good thing about it was that we saw Paul Ulibarri leading the whole event after round one. And not just leading, but leading by two strokes, which I didn't know we were going to ever see that ever again. So it was cool. That was really cool. And he kind of went away, choked a little bit, but in the back end of round two and three, but ended up falling to 14th, which I'm sure he's pretty overall. If you told him he was going to be 14th, he probably would have been happy with it. But if you told him he was going to be 14th after round one, he'd probably be a bit sad. But it was cool to see. I loved it. I was watching the whole league card on round two, and he played great for most of it and then choked a little bit at the end to drop himself off league card. But it was fun. I really like watching Yuli.
Yeah, a different way of going about it. Obviously plays to his strengths. It was great to see.
Papa Nate sneaks in there for a top 10 finish. So that was really cool as well. The old dogs love playing Milo MacGyver. So that was good. But the real story apparently was the finish. And I guess I underestimated that hole because I'd seen them play it way too easily. They just throw a big flat hyzer and then like a forehand to the basket and get an eagle. And I was like, well, I don't know about that. But then they kept talking about how that every year this hole ends up creating drama for a finishing hole. And oh boy. What went down?
I was racking my brain. Like, I've got the world's worst memory, but it's all coming back to me now. I tipped Anthony Barella. That's the first thing I remember. And he goes into that hole with a one stroke buffer. He throws it straight into the turf, barely like clears this ditch that's like not even in play.
A dam, like an out of bounds dam.
yeah. You're meant to be like hyzering this massive tree that he doesn't even make it to. The tree that everyone else is hyzing around, Barella doesn't even make it to that tree, which was less than ideal, but that's okay. It's a relatively short par five, and he just needs to, you know, find a way. He then throws his next one into a tree.
Straight into it. Just bang. Line it up.
Less than ideal, again, at this point. And yeah, and then Gannon Burr, he's for the taking. He's got an eagle play. Like, again, it's a short par three. He could play for eagle and win by 100 strokes now at this point. Instead, he grip locks it immediately to the right and just like also throws a shit shot. And like, everyone's just like falling apart. I'm like, what's going on here? Paul Ulibarri might win this thing. And then AB
Before they got up there, Kyle Klein takes his shot and he puts his second to very close to the pin, and he's just kind of keeping quiet at the moment because he's sort of out of it, but maybe not.
Exactly. Anyway, it's looking like playoff galore. Maybe a three-way playoff was going to unfold. And Kyle did not hit his eagle putt. So now it became down to just, okay, it's going to be a two-way playoff. AB just needs to hit this five-meter putt. And he nearly airballed it. I saw some commentary calling it a spit out. And I just have a good hard look at yourself if you think that's a spit out. Like, it's not what a spit out is. And it actually frustrates me. They're like, oh, that's a spit out. And like, what are you talking about? That was closer to an airball.
Did you watch that?
That's not a spit out. What are you talking about? Anyway, Gattenberg gets the chocolates.
Yeah, crazy. And that was Paddy Robinson, by the way, for sure, was like, that was a spit out. And I was like, wrong.
Yeah.
He missed that putt. But yeah, Gannon just sitting there going, oh, okay, never mind. I'll take this on a par. Right? Yeah. And then because... I feel like he parred, right? And then Barella, double bogey?
Nah.
Am I crazy?
You're crazy. It's a par five. It's a really short par five.
Yeah.
And so, no, Barella bogeyed six, Gannon Burr birdied four.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, hectic finish, and they just gave it to him. So he shouldn't have been in this. It should have been ABs for the taken. But, Gannon gets his second of the year, I believe. And it's kind of funny. I haven't fact-checked this. This is just from my memory that I'm coming into now. I feel like both of Gannon's wins this year have been when Antler is out of the country.
Ooh.
And I'm sure they've played other rounds where Gannon's beaten him. Like, I'm 1,000% sure. But he hasn't won yet with Antler not in the field. I don't know if that's like a mental thing or a coincidence. But, right? Like, it's, you know, yeah. They're the two with the most wins this year now, I think. But he hasn't done it when he's around. But Gannon's, Antle's got two when Gannon's around. So we might have to watch this space, see how many more he gets when Antle's not around. But I think Antle might be here for the rest of the season, so we'll see.
I like that. There's a storyline there.
Yeah, he's just going to make a little mental edge on him. I think that was it. Did we miss anything for the Pro Tour stuff? I don't think anything too exciting happened on the FPO side there. I think Holland won by 100.
Correct.
It was good to see Jen Allen and Kat Allen high up on the board, but other than that, it was the Holland show from Go to Woe.
And Paige Pierce continues to put a year together and, I might be finding herself at the pointy end soon.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. Doing good.
Yep.
All right, we'll do some Throwlers Guarantee. There's no tournaments on this weekend, is there?
There's Pro Tour, but there's no Australian tour as far as I can tell.
Yeah,
we've got Ruffy Lake
social day.
Yeah,
nice. All right, we'll have a little squiz at that. It is full. That's pretty cool. All right, I like a few of these people are vying for some spots here. Div B. Div B's fat. 24 people in Div B. Who do I like there? I didn't mind this little 6-6 setup. I was getting a little excited about that. I might have to, unless I start getting burnt pretty hard here again. I think I'm gonna mark. So there's no surprise that last time Marcus Davis was here, he shot a million under. So I want to have a look at him. Who would be a good battle between him in Div B? Al Don. Jesus. Al Don's a spicy one. I still am always shocked when I see Al's name in Div B. What about Marcus Davies versus Chu Tran. He normally gets a bit of action in our setup.
Mm.
What do you like between Marcus and Chu?
Oh, I like this. I like this. I'm willing to go here in the spirit of us being generous in Div B. I will go Marcus. It's not a 6-6, but weirdly how I'm going to score you is actually 6-5.
Okay.
You can have a, you can have a 6 for Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a 5 for Chu.
All right, I'll have a chew on that. Oh, well, that didn't even mean that. I'll have a
think I did. Bang.
What about the Wiedner battle? Not the Wiedner battle, but the Ash versus Matty Faz.
But this is huge. This is, you know, what this almost is. You know, like I've said, maybe we're 6-6. Like this could be like 8-8. Just like
good luck.
Just pick one of them. Look, I will. What will I do here? Look, I'm in good spirits. I will give you a 6 for Ash, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give you a 7 for Buckets.
Oofed. Okay. All right. Maybe I'll get them all involved. What, you had 6? So that's 6 for Marky and a 7 for Buckets. Right, so I would have Marky and Ash versus Buckets and Chew.
Mm-hmm.
What would I have for that? I don't know why I'm doing this, but
that's not working in your favor. That's now like 6-6.
Yeah. Fuck. How would I do that one? I'll take it. I don't know why. I'm going to go Ash and Marky.
Yeah.
6 to beat Buckets and Chew.
All right. Ash and Marky to beat Buckets and Chew for a 6.
This might be my last 6-6. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well played. Now, what was I eyeing off? Oh, yeah. I know what I was eyeing off. Leo Dykes, head-to-head, Penn Lu.
That's good. That's good. I wonder what does Leo even do at Ruffy? Like, what could he throw that wouldn't go way, way past the basket?
That's a great question.
I'll have a look. He plays here a bit. I'm just having a look quick at some of the old social days.
Oh, they're not great.
Ruffy 9-11. Ruffy 9-11.
Always below his rating.
Yeah, Ruffy 9. Ruffy 885 rated.
Oh, okay. Shit.
Yeah, well, Penn's going to be quite a substantial favorite then, because I imagine Penn plays that just fine. It's got to be, I think it's, I don't like doing this, but I think it's worse than 6-4. I think it's got to be, based on all that stuff, 7-3. I'll give you 7 for Leo.
I'll take it. Yeah. I want a piece of that 7.
I don't like it, but I think I got it. I don't think I like giving the 4 to Penn, you know what I mean?
I hear. Based on what you've drawn that up correctly. I'm just hoping for an out of the blocks Ruffy performance from Leo.
Oh yeah, I know. There you go. All right, Leo over Penn. Penn wants that social day victory too. He wants the. Oh no, he doesn't give a shit about that, does he? But maybe he knows Kalen wants it, so he probably wants it for that reason. All right, cool. We got our thing sorted. Penn got a mention on Tee Off as well. For his sandbag emoji. They liked what you saw and they went with it.
Nice, good.
So a bit of fun. All right, a bit of spotlight, not light to finish it off.
Yes, please.
Beautiful. I've got a spotlight at least. I might work on a not light, but my spotlight is Tinsy. They have, I don't know if it's not out yet, I don't think, but they've got shirts brewing. They've got a shirt that has like the tinty silo painted, not silos, but the, what have they got, like grain sheds or something painted in the background. A lathe in a basket and then a tent just flying by. They've got like a drawing of that and it says, I survived the 2025 Tintinara tee off. So I really hope that's a thing that they get made, and I really hope that everyone who went there picks one up because they look funny as fuck and that's dope. So my spotlight goes to, Tinty shirts.
Good one. Good one. My tee off, my tee off, Jesus. my spotlight goes to a family that features heavily on the podcast. It goes to the Davies family. My spotlight has to go to Charlotte Davies for picking up a birdie at Bald Hill on hole 3. Yeah, getting there in two throws and knocking it in for the birdie 3, that is no mean feat. And I can't imagine that she's had many, birdied that hole very often before, so absolutely has to get my spotlight. I did fail to mention my honourable mention, but it came up earlier in the podcast. My honourable mention was going to be just all the positive feedback we got around the Sydney Harbour Bridge a tournament to be featured on Tour Down Under.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Yeah.
I forgot my honourable mention. It has to go to Kalen Borg from Tinty. Parish mentioned it. He did bring it up, but Kalen got from a different Kalen. There's two Kalens that play disc golf, which is wild. I've never even heard of one Kalen before, but Kalen Borg, who is, I think, a predominantly forehand player from Adelaide, and he got himself an ace on day one and an ace on day two. So he got two tournament aces in the same weekend. So that's pretty sick. So that gets my honourable mention. I've got no real not lights that I can think of. The only thing I can think of is that the shirts aren't here yet, but they will be. I emailed the shirt people today to find out whether this was just a really nice long con that they did. but they emailed me back straight away, just said they're in a busy time and they'll be out late this week or early next week. So, that's when they'll ship them. So then they got to get come in from China. But we'll see them soon. You got any not lights?
Sick. Nah, I've got none. Just our phone reception or whatever's been cooking. This has been a new problem for us. It's made a problem for more of a problem for you than it has for me. But that can have my not light.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was honestly, we had a bit of a part before where your microphone was all like weird. Like it was only coming up on my end, and I was like, oh, I'll just snip this out. But then as like 10 minutes went by, I was like, I'm not gonna. But we've had a couple other connection errors, so I was like, all right, I'll clean it up. I was just, that was going to be my not light, was we're going to get to the end of this thing. And I was like, my not light is that I couldn't be bothered cleaning up the like 30 seconds of, so sorry, not light Alan, but I'm going to clean it up now. So,
nice work.
Anyway, all right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.